The second parak starts out by teaching us some of the fundamental halachas as it relates to shechita. Mishnah Aleph says as follows: Hashochet echad be'of ushnayim bebehema. When you do a shechita on a bird, you have to cut one or the other of the windpipe or the food pipe. However, when it comes to a behema, you have to shecht both of them. If you do so, shechita so ksheir, that's required to have a kosher shechita, v'rubo shalecha kamo, and even if you just do the majority of one, meaning when it comes to a bird, you need to cut through the majority of one of those two, and when it comes to an animal, you have to cut through the majority of each of them, that is going to be sufficient. Kamo, it's as if you cut through the whole thing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, achi yishchat et avridim. This is a different halacha. It's not, this doesn't relate to shechita. It's talking about the isra of eating blood when you have a bird, and you do the shechita. After you do the shechita, you have to make sure to puncture the major blood vessels in the neck. Otherwise, when you cook it, that blood is not going to come out. Accordingly, Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that to avoid the problem of eating blood, you have to make sure also to puncture those blood vessels. Chetzi echad be'of, if you shecht a bird and you only cut through 50%, not 51% of one of the two simanim, either the windpipe or the food pipe. Ve'echad v'chesi b'mehema, when it comes to an animal, you cut through a full one, but only half of the other one, not the majority of the other one. Shechita sapsula, the shechita is not going to be kosher. Rov echad ba'of, when it comes to an off, you did the majority of one. Ve'rov shnayim b'mehema, and you did the majority of each of those simanim when it came to an animal. That's what's required. That is going to be shechita shokshayr, that is going to be a kosher shechita. Before we do Mishnah Beis, we're going to go through five different halachas that were taught as a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. These are actually five different invalidations of the shechita that were taught to Moshe at Har Sinai. So the first one is called shehiya, meaning pausing. The shochet paused during the shechita. So we'll see in the next few Mishnayos how long a pause would invalidate the shechita. Invalidation number two, psul number two in the shechita is called drasa. It's when you press down on the knife. So you press the knife into the neck instead of with a back and forth motion. It has to be a smooth back and forth motion, not pressing. That's called drasa. That's number two. Number three is called chalada, which is hiding the knife, which means when you put it and insert it behind one of the pipes and you cut forward. You're supposed to cut from forward, from the neck backward, not backward, forward. So that's chalada. Number five is called hagrama. Hagrama means that you do the shechita not in the proper place, either above or below where you're supposed to be doing the shechita. And number five is ikur, which is tearing. Tearing, instead of a smooth cut, you have a knife, for example, that is serrated or has nicks in it, so that is leading to tearing of the pipe or pipes when doing the shechita. So Mishnah Beis says as follows: Hashochet shnei roshim ke'echad. Somebody is doing a shechita, he has a longer knife, he shechts two animals at the same time. Shechita sokshir, that is not a problem at all. Shnayim ochsim besakim v'shochtin. If we have two people holding the knife together, afilu echad amala v'echad amala, even one on each side of the knife, so one is holding on one side, one is holding on the other side, and they're doing the shechita together, we would think that there's a concern of that second psul, that is drasa, that they are going to be pressing because they're not going to be able to control the motion so well with two people. Nonetheless, the Mishnah tells us shechita sokshir, there is not a psul of drasa, of pressing, when we have two people doing the shechita. Mishnah Gimel says as follows: if hitis es rosh bevas achad, if somebody came and instead of doing a shechita back and forth, he chops off the head, that is psula, that is the psul of drasa, that is pressing down, that is chopping off the head, that is not a smooth motion. Haya shochet, if somebody on the other hand is doing a shechita, so he's doing the motion back and forth, not pressing, v'hitis as a rosh b'vas achad, and he cut off the head all in one motion, so either back or forth, but he didn't have to go back and forth, im yesh b'sakim ulot tzavar, accordingly, to say that that is going to be kosher, and he did it with a back and forth smooth motion without having a concern that he was pressing, that would be the psul of drasa, you need an extra long knife in order to say that he cut with one motion. So the Mishnah tells us, "Yimesh besakim lo tzavar," you need the length of a knife that is two times the width of the neck. So you have the width of the neck and you have to add on double that amount. So the knife is two times the width of the neck. In that situation, you can say that he can cut with one motion, either back or forth, and you don't have to be concerned that he pressed in order to effectuate that shechita, then it's going to be kshera. Hayashochet v'hizti shnei roshim b'basachad. If he's doing the shechita, he's doing two animals at once, how long does the knife have to be in order to assume that there's no drasa, that there was no pressing? He had an extra long knife. So here, the knife has to, again, be one additional length of the width of the neck. So if he has two animals that he's cutting through, so that's two lengths of the width of the neck. You have to add a third one, so in total, it's three widths of the neck. If you have that additional one in addition to the two necks that you're cutting, then it's going to be kosher, and you don't have to be concerned that there was pressing, that was drasa. When do we have to know that you need an extra long knife? We're talking about a situation when you went one length forward or one length backward, but not both. So in other words, we only require an extra long knife when you're doing one motion, either forward or backward, of al'im holich vehevi. However, if you're going back and forth and back and forth, afilu kol shuhu, you can have a knife that's tiny. Afilu b'izmel, even if it's a scalpel, it's going to be kshera because you're going back and forth, so we don't need a longer knife. We're not concerned there's going to be a drasa. Now we're going to learn another halacha, that it has to be the koach adam, the strength of a person that actually does the shechita. Nafla sakin v'shachata. If the knife happened to fall, it wasn't that a person threw the knife at the animal or dropped it, but it fell off a shelf or something like that, and it did the shechita, and it did it even kosher. There was no drush involved here, no pressing. It was a good motion. Afa b'shachata kedarka psula. Even though you did it in a proper way, it wasn't a sawing motion. It was a proper. It was back and forth, smooth. It is going to be puzzle. Why? It says you should do the shechita and you should eat it. And what that means is mashat hazovech, that which you did the zvicha for, you did the shechita ataochel, that you can eat it. But if the shechita was done by itself because the wind threw the knife down or something, it wasn't you, that is not going to be a valid shechita. Continuing now, we're going to talk about the first psul of the halacha l'moshe misimnites, which is shihiyah. If somebody takes a pause during the shechita, nafal sakin v'higbiyah, if during the shechita you started and he dropped the knife, and he lifted it up, and then continued. Or naflu kela vigbia. Number two is that his kelim, which means clothing, let's say his yarmulke fell off, his hat fell off, and then he had to stop in the middle of the shechita and lift it up, and then he continued. He was sharpening the knife, and he had to stop in the middle to sharpen it. There are actually two ways to read this. That was one way, or va'afa, he got tired in the middle and he had to take a break. Or we can read this together. He had to sharpen the knife in the middle of the shechita, and he got tired, and accordingly, and somebody else continued. It really doesn't matter if he continues or somebody else continues. All we're focused on is how long a pause is permitted, and how long will the pause be. At a certain point, it's going to prohibit. It's going to be the psul of shehiya, imshakadei shechita. If the pause was the length that he could have done an independent shechita on another animal, in that case, it's going to be psula. That shechita is going to be invalid. He waited too long. He paused too long during the shechita because he could have done a whole other shechita at that time. Rabbi Shimon Omer, imshakadei biko. Rabbi Shimon is of the view that it's not the amount of time to do another shechita, but the amount of time to examine what? Either the knife itself to check that it was kosher, or to examine the shechita to make sure it was kosher. Mishnah Dalu, we're now going to talk about the fifth psul, ikur, which is tearing out of the windpipe or the food pipe, but not through a smooth motion. The knife was nicked, for example. Shachat et aveshet, upasak es agargeret. If he did a proper shechita for an animal, we're talking about, on the food pipe, but then he did ikur, he tore through the windpipe, or the reverse, or shachat et agargeret, pasak et aveshet. So we have only a kosher shechita on one of the two, and we need a kosher shechita on both of them for an animal. Or, sheshachat echad mehen, behimtin lad shemesa, he did shechita on one of the pipes, and he waited, and the animal died before he did the second one. He didn't even get to do the second one before it died. Or another alternative, Osha Hechli, this is the psul of Chalada, which means he cut from in back of the pipe forward instead of going from the front and back. Osha Hechli, that's a sakin tachra sheni upsakos, he did a kosher shechita on the first one, but then he did Chalala from the back on the second of the simanim. In all these situations, Rabbi Yeshevav Omer Nevela, and Nevela is something that transmits Tuma. And Rabbi Yeshevav, his other view, because there wasn't a kosher shechita, there was only one of the pipes was done correctly, the second one wasn't, there's not a kosher shechita here, accordingly, that makes the animal in a Nevela, and it will transmit Tuma. Rabbi Akiva Omer Trefa, Rabbi Akiva says, because you had a kosher shechita on one of the pipes, that takes it out of being a Nevela, it is a trefa, and it will not transmit tuma. Klal Amar Rabbi Yeshiva. Rabbi Yeshiva says his general view, the definition of what a nevela is, because klal, there's a principle on Rabbi Yeshiva, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, kol shenivsula b'shchitasa nevela, if you did not have a fully kosher shchita, that animal is going to be a nevela, and it will transmit tuma. If the shechita was done kosher, however, it's still not a kosher animal for a different reason. Something else caused it to be puzzled. For example, it had an internal defect, blemish, etc. Then it's going to be a trefa, but not a nevela. In the end of the day, Rabbi Akiva indeed agreed with this definition of a trefa and nevela that was offered by Rabbi Yeshevav in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. Mishnah Hey, Hashochet Behema Chaya Ve'Of Lo Matza Mehen Dam. Somebody did a shechita on an animal, domesticated, non-domesticated, a bird, and did not find any blood. No blood came out. We would have thought it's an nevela. You can't eat it. No, the Mishnah tells us that it's kosher, even though no blood came out. And even though typically you would have to wash your hands when touching something that was mukhsha lekabel tuma. What does that mean? So if you have a food item, for example, and wetness touched it, that's machshir to be makabel tuma. Thereafter, if it touched something of tuma, that tuma will make the animal or whatever food item it is, it will make it tame. So typically when you have a shechita, blood comes out, that blood is machshir the animal, so you have to wash your hands because Chazal instituted that the hands have a status of a sheni l'tuma. In this situation, because no blood came out, that blood was never machshir that animal, you don't have to wash your hands, you can eat that animal with tame hands. So v'nechalim b'yadayim esuavot lefi shelo hukshiru b'dam, because the dam was never machshir it, so you can eat it, you don't have to wash your hands to take away the tuma on the hands. Rabbi Shimon Omer hukshiru b'shchita. Rabbi Shimon says, even though there was no blood that came out, the shchita itself was machshir that animal, just like the shchita was kosher in order to permit eating the meat, it was also machshir the animal to be makabel tuma. Accordingly, you would have to wash your hands before eating of that meat. Mishnah Vav, Hashochet and a Mesukenes. We are now talking about an animal that is called a Mesukenes, which means that it is close to death. And the definition is that if you stood it up, because it doesn't have its own strength to stand up, if you stood it up, it could not support itself, it would fall down. So here, what we have to analyze is, how are we going to know that that animal was alive or dead before the Shechita? If it were dead before the Shechita, it's not going to be a kosher animal, it has to be alive. So we're going to have a three-way machlokus on this. Hashochet and a Mesukenes, somebody did Shechita on that animal, that is a Mesukenes. You have to check after the Shechita, did it show signs that it was alive right before the Shechita? Opinion number one, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Achete parkes, until it moves, until it jerks, both beyad uverega, both its hand. The hand means one of the front two legs, uverega, one of the back two legs. You have to see jerking motion from each of those. That's opinion number one. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, much more lenient. You don't have to see any movement from the animal after the Shechita. What you have to see is daya im zinka. You have to see some spurting action from the blood. As long as some blood spurts out, that's going to show that Mesukenes, that animal, was indeed alive at the time of Shechita. Now, as a corollary to this limud of Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Af HaShochet Balayla, even though somebody who shechted at night, he couldn't see if there was any jerking motion on the animal after the Shechita. It was an animal that was Mesukenes, Ulamachar Hishkim, and then the next morning he woke up, Umatzak Soli Maleim Dam, Ksheira, and he saw the sides of the neck were full of blood. You know that is a kosher Shechita. Why Shezimka? Because based on what Rabbi Eliezer told us, then is going to be a situation that the blood splurted out, Ukamidas Rabbi Eliezer taught us that as long as you have blood splurred out, that is sufficient to ensure that animal was alive before the Shechita. Now we're going to have a third opinion that is going to fall in between the two of those. The Chachamim Omrim, they are going to be more lenient than the first view. The first view was that you had to see the jerking of both the Yad and the Regal. Chachamim Omrim, Ash de Parkes, Obiyad Oberegal, you only need to see one of them, the front, one of the front legs or the back legs moving, not both of them. Or you can see the wagging of the tail. But according to this Chachamim, They disagree with the second opinion as well. That opinion is way too lenient. You can't simply rely that blood splurted out. You have to see some action, some movement from the limbs, even just one of the limbs of the animal. And now the Mishnah comments these concepts that we just mentioned, that if you have a mesukenis, so you have to see one of the, you have to see the simanim of life. We have the three machlokas. This applies, it applies whether we're talking about a small animal like a lamb, or a large animal like an ox or a cow. But we do have a difference between a behemadaka and a behemagasa. Behemadaka, if we're talking about one of the small animals, if it lifted out one of its fronts, legs, but it didn't move it back. It moved it only in one direction. That is not going to be sufficient to tell us that an animal was not mesukenis. It's going to be psula. We're not going to be permitted to eat of that meat. Why? Because that's simply a natural action that was taken after the shechita, but it doesn't indicate that it was alive right before the shechita. In contrast with the behema gas, a large animal, even movement in one direction would suffice. This whole discussion that we were talking about, that we require to see some of the signs of life right after the shechita. We need to see that it was active, that there, it's moving, or you need the blood spurting out. We had three opinions on that. What are we talking about? Shehaisa b'cheska misukenis. All of that that we were talking about in our Mishnah is that we knew that animal was a misukenis. It was close to death, so we need to see one of those signs. Avalim haisa becheskas bria. However, if that animal was not a mesukenis, it was healthy. It had a clean bill of life, a health before the shechita. Afilo ein ba'echa mikola simanim alalo ksheri. Even if it didn't show any of those signs, it didn't move any of its limbs, it didn't splurt any butt out, it doesn't matter. We don't have to see any of them. It's going to be a kosher shechita. We only have to test it when it was a mesukenis. Mishnah Zayin is talking about when a non-Jew has an animal and asks a Jew to do the shechita on it. And what we're concerned about is when the shechita is being done, is that non-Jew, is he going to have in mind avodah zarah? And there's a general rule that something that is shechted, something that is offered to an avodah zarah, obviously the avodah zarah is avodah zarah, but also the item that is shechted, it's called tikrovis avodah zarah, it's going to be asr bahana. So if we have the goy that's standing on the sidelines, he's the owner of that animal, what if he has thoughts that I'm really having this Jew shech this for the Avodah Zorah, is that going to have an impact on that shechita? Is it going to be invalid that a Jew cannot eat it? Or is it going to be still a valid shechita? So we're going to see a three-way machlochis on this, and both of the first opinions are that if we know that the non-Jew is thinking thoughts of Avodah Zorah, that will invalidate the shechita. But their machlochit is going to be, do I have to assume, in the absence of my knowing that he's having those Avodah Zorah intents, do I have to assume that that goy, that this non-Jew, is having avodah zarah sot? So according to the Tana Kama, shochet lenochri, if a Jew is doing the shechita on behalf of a non-Jewish owner of an animal, shechita sokshera, the default is that the shechita is going to be kosher. You don't need to assume that that goy, that that non-Jew, is thinking about avodah zarah. Rabbi Eliezer says, if it's a non-Jew, he's thinking of avodah zarah, the default is that you have to assume he's thinking about avodah zarah, and that will invalidate the shechita. A Jew cannot eat of that meat. And now Rabbi Eliezer, that second opinion, says as follows: Amar Rabbi Eliezer, afilu shchata shiochal hanachri mechatzar kaved shela psula. Even if the non-Jew doesn't own the whole entire animal, but only owns a small part of that animal, he only owns the diaphragm, and the rest is owned by Jews, it doesn't matter. Because he owns even that small amount and the shechita was done, shestam achsheves nochri l'avodah zarah, it's going to be possible, because the default is that the non-Jew is thinking about avodah zarah. And even if he owns a small part of that animal, we still have to default to that knowledge he's thinking about avodah zarah, that it will invalidate the entire shechita. Whether it's the opinion of the Tana Kama or Rebbe Eliezer, they both agree that if you knew that non-Jew is thinking about avodah zarah, then it's going to invalidate that korban. Now we're going to have Rabbi Yossi is going to teach us that we don't care what somebody else is thinking about. All that matters is the thoughts of the person actually doing the shechita or doing the avoda, doing the actions on that animal. If that person is having avodah zarah thoughts, that will invalidate it. But the fact that we have somebody else who is not involved thinking, even if it's the owner of the animal, it's not going to invalidate that shechita. Amar Rabbi Yossi is going to learn it from Hekdesh. It's a little bit complicated. Kal v'chomer advarim. We have a kal v'chomer umabeg makam shamachshava poselis b'mukdashin. If we have mukdashin, which is a korban, improper thoughts will invalidate a korban. And we'll just give an example. If somebody is thinking, chutz lizmano, I'm going to eat, for example, this korban outside of its proper time, and he had that thought at one of the four stages of bringing that korban. We're not talking about chuli now, we're talking about korban in the Beis HaMikdash. If he had that chutz lizmano thought during the shkita, or the kabbalah, the receiving of the blood, or the halacha, walking the blood to the mizbech, or the zrika, the spritzing of that blood, if he had any of those thoughts, chutz lizmano thought, it's going to invalidate that animal. But nonetheless, if it's the person standing on the side who owns that animal, it's not the person doing any of those actions, it's not going to invalidate. We only care about the person who's doing those actions. The shechita, kabbalah, halacha, zrika, eino kol holech el achara ovid, the person doing the avoda, he's the one who can invalidate it. But even in a korban, which is easy to invalidate a korban, but if it's only the person on the sidelines, it's not going to invalidate it, even if he's thinking this. So certainly, kal v'chomer, when we're not talking about korbanos, but we are talking about the realm of chulin, just a simple shechita, makom she'en machshava poselas b'chulin, when machshava literally means that the thoughts aren't going to invalidate it, but it means that it's very limited the times that a thought will invalidate a shechita. If somebody indeed is doing the shechita itself and he's thinking, I'm doing the shechita for avodah zarah, or if he does his riki, takes the blood and he throws it and he says, this is for avodah zarah, that will invalidate that shechita of the chulin. But if he has those thoughts when he does a kabbalah or a halach, it's not going to invalidate it. So it's very difficult to invalidate something that is chulin when you do the shechita. So certainly, Eino din, isn't it a kal v'chomer shliya kol holech el achara shochet? Isn't it certainly if in the context of a korban that we only care about the person doing the actual avoda, and if somebody else has invalid thoughts, we disregard him. Certainly in the case of chulin, which it's so much more difficult to invalidate a shechita, we only care about the person who's doing the shechita, the zrika, not anything else. So the goy in our situation, even though he may be thinking about a avodah zarah, even if we know for certain he's thinking about a avodah zarah, it doesn't matter. It's not going to invalidate the shechita, and a Jew can eat of that meat. Mishnah Ches, again, we're building on the concept of tikrovis of avodah zarah, that the item that is offered to an avodah zarah becomes asur bahana. However, Mishnah Ches, we're going to see an exception to the rule that if somebody is doing a shechita to something that cannot become an avodah zarah, for example, to the earth, to mountains, things that are attached to the world, to the globe, somebody who worships it cannot make that an avodah zarah, can't make that asur bahana. Accordingly, the item that is offered to them, a shechita on an animal to a mountain, for example, the animal itself will not become asur bahana. However, it still will be asur la'achila. Jew cannot eat it. So hashochet l'shem harim, if somebody is a shechita and he has in mind that he's offering it to a mountain, l'shem gevoros, to hills, l'shem yamim, to the ocean, l'shem naharos, to the river, all of these, l'shem midboros, to the midbar, to the desert, all of these are attached to the ground. You can't make these in avodah zarah. Accordingly, the tikrovis, what is offered, this animal does not become asra bana. However, shchitas apsula, the shchita is going to be invalid. It cannot be eaten. Shnaim ochsim besakin v'shochtin. And we have, as a corollary to that, if we have two people now, they are partners in an animal, and they're each holding opposite sides of the sakin, or holding it together, the handle together. They're doing the shchita together on the animal that they own together. And one has proper thoughts, and one has improper thoughts. Echa d'shem echa mikolelo. So one of them is thinking about one of the items that we just listed in the beginning of this Mishnah. For example, he's thinking, I am doing the shechita as an avodah zarah to a mountain. Ve'echa l'shem davar kasher, and the other one has no improper intents. He has okay intents. Shechita san psula, even one of them can invalidate the shechita, and a Jew would not be permitted to eat from that meat. Mishnah Tes, we're going to talk about things that will make it look like, not actually, but make it look like the shechita is to avodah zarah, and accordingly, Chazal said, you got to limit certain activities so it doesn't look like you're doing a shechita for avodah zarah. Mishnah Tes says as follows, Ein shochatin lo lasoch yamim v'lo lasoch naharos. When you do a shechita, don't have the blood fall directly into the water of the ocean, into the river, into the water of a river, because it looks like you are doing that shechita to avodah zarah. It looks like you are worshiping the angel of the sea. So don't do that. V'lo l'toch kelim, and also don't do a shechita directly into a kli to use the blood. It looks like you're giving the appearance that you're collecting the blood in order to worship it, to use the zrika, to zorek it as an avodah zorah. So all these are items that you shouldn't do. You have to limit how you do the shechita in these ways so it doesn't look off, doesn't look like you're giving the appearance of doing a shechita for avodah zorah. Aval shochet hu letoch uga shamayim. What you are permitted to do is you can do the shechita into a pool of water, because there's water in that pool. That is not going to look like they're doing it for avodah zarah purposes. Ubesfina agabe kelim. And if you're on a boat and you don't want to get the blood all over the place, you're shechting it on board, and you don't want to, but you also can't shecht it directly into the water. So what you can do is you can put kelim on the side, so that you turn over some bowls or something like that on the side of the boat, do the shechita, the blood lands on the kelim, and then it will flow into the ocean, because the blood is not going directly into the ocean. You're not giving off the appearance of this shechita being done for avodah zarah purposes. Ein shochatin leguma kol ikar. You're not permitted to do a shechita directly into a hole that does not have water in it, even in your own house, because that is the chukas hagoyim. That's how the non-Jews do their shechita for avodah zarah. So don't have the blood flow straight into a hole. What you can do is you can do the shechita on the side of the hole, and the shechita will land on the ground and it will run off into the hole. That is not going to be a problem, because the blood is going indirectly, not directly, into the hole. However, in a public area, in the shuk, in the marketplace, don't do that, because it looks too similar to what the non-Jews are doing. Mishnah Yud, we are going to divide up. We have somebody who is doing a shechita, and he says, right before the shechita, we're not talking about hekdesh, he's in the base of Mikdash, we're talking about a shechita. Right before it, he says to this animal, I am doing the shechita for purposes of bringing a korban ola. So category number one is, that we'll see shortly, is he's having in mind, he says to people, I'm doing the shechita, it's outside of the base of Mikdash, I am doing the shechita as a voluntary offering, something that is given as a neder or nedava, like an ola or shlamim. And the thing is that he did not say in advance that this animal is a korban. So it's not designated as a korban, but what we're concerned about in this situation is because he's simply saying, I'm bringing this as an ola, I'm bringing it as a shlamim, and then he's going to eat it thereafterward, even though it fundamentally is a kosher shechita. But we're concerned, people are going to think that it was really a korban. This person violated the prohibition of shechut echutz, bringing a korban outside of the base of Mikdash, and he's eating the meat. It must be okay to eat the meat of a shechut echutz. Accordingly, Chazal said that it is going to be usher to eat the meat. So hashochet l'shem ola. Somebody does a shechita on what is not a korban, but he says, I'm bringing this as an ola. L'shem zvachim, as a shlamim, l'shem asham toloi, as an asham toloi, according to Rabbi Eliezer's other view, that you can bring an asham toloi, that's so you have a suffix, did I do an aveira, certain types of aveira or not. You can bring that every day, according to Rabbi Eliezer, to make sure that you wipe away any sins that you may have committed. So that is brought as a nadava as well, a voluntary basis. L'shem pesach, you can declare that your animal is a pesach all year round, and when you bring it, and not in its proper time, it's going to be a shlamim as well. L'shem tod, or you say right before shechting, I'm bringing this animal as a toda, which is a form of a shlamim. Shechitas psula, Chazal were concerned, people are going to think that this is an item. He's simply bringing a korban outside, and we can see that you can eat the meat. Even though it was a kosher shechita, Chazal said you're not allowed to eat of it. Rabbi Shimon wasn't concerned about these appearances at all. We're going to go back to the Tana Kama now. Shnayim ochsim besakim v'shochtim. If we have two people that are shechting together, echad l'shem echad mikol eila, one of them is in this category number one. He's saying, I'm bringing a korban, I'm shechting this for an ola, shlaming, all these items that were brought as a korban on a voluntary basis. So he has in mind that. And the second one, v'echad l'shem davar kosher, and the second one isn't thinking anything improper. Shechitas hamsula, as we've seen before, even just one of them having improper thoughts, it's going to invalidate the shechita. On the other hand, now we're in category number two. If the person is saying, I'm doing this shechita for an animal that I'm obligated to bring as a korban. Again, we are outside. It's chulin. He did not designate this animal as a korban. He's simply saying this. Hashochet l'shem chatas. I'm going to produce the shechita, and it's for, I'm bringing it as a chatas. L'shem asham valdai. This is one of five sins, that it's a sin that he has to bring. It's an obligation to bring an asham valdai. L'shem bechor. I'm bringing this animal as a bechor. It's a bechor, has to be given to the kohen and brought as a korban. L'shem meiser. Meiser behema. The tithing of the animals on an annual basis. L'shem, he's saying, here I really have a different animal and I'm replacing it, with this new, and people know that he doesn't have a korban at home. In all of these situations, people would know that he had the obligation in advance. People would know he committed a sin, so he has to bring a chatas, that he has to bring an asham valdai, that this is a border, and people did not have that information. So accordingly, because people were saying, what are you talking about? You don't have this obligation. We simply ascribe to the fact he's saying, Hashochet, I'm bringing this as a chatas, as asham. He's just talking shtuyot. He's just talking nonsense, but we know that he's simply doing a chulin. He's simply doing shechita on chulin. In all these situations, Chazal were not gozer. There's not the concern that he is going to be eating, that people are going to think he's eating the shechute chutz, the meat of an animal that's really a korban. So accordingly, shechita shel kshera. Zeaklal, this is the general principle in this Mishnah called Dovar Shenidar Venidar. If we're in category number one, any item, any type of animal that is brought as a neder or nedava on a voluntary basis, and the person says right before it, Ashochet Lishma, I'm bringing it. For a korban, it's going to be us or Chazal. We're concerned that people are going to think that he's eating the meat of shchut echutz, even though he's not. So they said the shchit is going to be us, so you can't eat of that meat. However, our category number two, v'sheinu nidav v'nidav, it's a type of animal that is not brought on a voluntary basis. Hashochet lishma, if the person says, I'm bringing this lishma, I'm bringing it for a korban, it's still going to be kosher. It's going to be a valid shchita, and people will be permitted to eat of its meat.